request. It's a command from the Father God through the first father, John the Apostle. Oh. Why, God, you couldn't help yourself. You're justified in it through ignorance and unbelief, coming out of religion. You had always thought that you're supposed to use the scriptures or the work of the Spirit to justify what you were already doing. Didn't you? You forgot it is God that justified. Some of y'all are made so backwards, and the devil made all of us so backwards, it's a wonder Hannah had her walking on her hand instead of on her feet. And from the way some of us lived in religion, I sort of suspect maybe we did spiritually walk on our hand instead of on our feet, upright like men. Knowing Peter's description of people that are brute beasts, I'm pretty sure that a lot of us crawled on our all fours. Or maybe crawled on our belly like snakes. Oh, yeah, a lot of you Pentecostals used to grovel in condemnation at that altar. Grovel, oh, like a snake. Oh, I'm a poor sinner. Step on me and mash me like a bug, and Satan did just like that. Quit ye like men. Stand upright like a man. That's what my father spoke to me one time. I was doing a lot of self-pity religious type stuff, and he said, get up from there. Stand upright like a man, like a son of mine that you are. And he said, if I want to put you down, I'll put you down. But you shall not let Satan put you down. And when I get ready to put you down in worship and humbleness before me, he said, I'll come through the Spirit. And I'll bring you down on your face in love and worship. But said, you shall not fall down there in condemnation and guilt. Shall not show a false humility to me. You worship on your faith? Oh, yeah, a lot of times. But I do by the Spirit. I don't go with attitude. I'm going to show him how humble I am. He knows what I am. Brother Mac, you got all your little babies in already. Many of you here ought to give them, all of you here ought to give a special thanks to the Lord in your heart every once in a while for brother, for Jesus Christ in the flesh of Brother Mac. That worried for years and still doing with a bunch of you hard heads, children, made sure you had a way here. Oh, yes. Oh, but he wasn't doing great works. He was. Any glory to his flesh? No, the glory belongs to the Lord. But the reward belongs to him. How many of you have ever been picked up, waited on, and babied by Brother Mac? Raise your hand. Better than that, just stand up. You realize, of course, that that wasn't Brother Mac doing that, don't you? That was Jesus in the flesh, Brother Mac. You may sit down. Now, I'll tell you, some of the rest of you that were supposed to be doing that, you couldn't do that. You couldn't help him out because you were too great or something. Well, why didn't you tell me to do it? Why didn't you tell me to help Brother Maggie? I was sitting there watching him lay up rewards and then you losing them, and I was enjoying it too much, so I just left you alone. You think I'm gonna rob him of that blessing? Love thy neighbor as thyself, spoke Jesus Christ to all the people. Who is my neighbor? The people as them, that I might love them as myself. Then Jesus spoke a parable of the good Samaritan that found his neighbor on a road, bruised and bleeding and dying from robbers. And in the good Samaritan poured in oil and the wine. Good Samaritan used what he had, a little soothing oil and soothing wine. But the religious priest had his mind set on great things and walked by and didn't even see nor know his neighbor. Eating the spirit, it'll help you be tonic to your soul. So who could your neighbor be? The one in whom you see a need and the love of Christ inside of you reaches out and feels their need. You can find your neighbor on any road, on any street. of any town. If you let the love of Jesus Christ reach out to feel the needs of all. Your neighbor may be a drunk in the gutter, or a rich man in a high castle, but the love of Jesus inside of you tells you who your neighbor be. When you find your neighbor with the love of Christ, don't be deceived by lying Satan. You have no gifts of great ministry. Just reach in the spirit for the oil and the wine. Using whatever you have to meet the needs of the bruised and dying. Maybe it will be a song in the spirit, our soothing word about Jesus Christ, or even a good morning in the love of God. We'll pour in the oil and the wine. But the attitude of heart put in by religion is when you see your neighbor or whosoever bleeding and dying and in trouble, is let the bastard get out of it himself. Maybe if you're real religious, taught by Satan about how to judge him, then when you find your neighbor bruised and bleeding, you'll jump up on him and condemn him more, and tell him he's under the judgment of God, and help Satan to destroy him. But listen to me, there is a true judgment, but it must come from the love of God. Oh. I know how you've been taught in religion. If you're not a great man or a great woman, or if you have not great gifts and great words, then you cannot have neighbors, nor pour in the oil, nor the wine to soothe them. But Jesus in your flesh is the source of all life. And as that love reaches out to them, love finds a way to meet their needs. And feel that love of Christ now begin to develop in you by the Spirit. And I recommend that this afternoon, I don't want you to do a thing. Don't want you to try to evangelize, try to talk to anybody, do a thing. But I recommend that you ride around or either walk around among people and begin to let the love of Jesus just quicken in you just a little bit by the Spirit and begin to see them for just what they are, people burning under the judgment of God. None with a hate and despising in you, but don't do a thing unless God tells you to. But just walk around a little bit and let that love begin to come alive in you a little. It may be sort of gentle at first, or some of you may have to run to the bathroom or somewhere to keep from crying in public. But whatever, I just recommend that you let that love inside of you just begin to reach out and feel the needs of the people. Destroy that old condemning, judging, go to hell attitude that's in you. I don't have it, Brother Brett. Oh, come on. Come on, come on, come on. If I can't convince them of the scriptures, then they can lay there and bleed and die. 'Cause they won't agree with me doctrinally. I'll help Satan beat them to death. Who was I talking to? Oh. You think I'm talking about compromising? No, sir. I'm talking about letting everything originate out of the love of God. You know the reason I'm able to bring judgment so swift and so hard? I learned a little secret. If it comes out of the love of God for the person and the abhorrence of evil, of Satan attacking that person, it comes in fire. And there's not many, there's no obedient-hearted person that can stand against it. And it marks the wicked and the disobedient, woo, with judgments of fast. You don't have to worry with them anymore. You don't have to tell a person, go out and say, I love you. You know how to tell them that. You can be raining judgment, fire, and brimstone on them. They know. The obedient heart knows whether it's coming in love or condemnation. They may feel like all hell breaking loose on them, and it is. But they know God makes them. love of God, the bond of perfection starts working in you from the love of Christ, the love of the Good Samaritan that reaches and feels the needs of others. Quite an experience to you if you've never had it. To be all, just all at once, walking along. Something inside of you getting to where it wants to weep. You look over there and there's a person. You may not know their need, may not even understand it. Feel that love of Christ reaching out from you. If you've never had that experience, most of you haven't. One or two you have. But it'll be quite an experience for you. The Lord used to have me, and he still may. I can get a little hard and heart, or sometime a lot hard and heart, or whatever. He'd have me to get out. Move around. Most of the time he'd send me to some of the unsendablest places you've ever seen. Of course, you don't know anything about that. You're afraid to even miss those people. But you don't have to go down and do anything or anywhere and do anything. Just walk around them all and see. In case you don't know it, you're hearing the mystery of how God intends to evangelize and capture the world. To bring forth in his people Jesus Christ in the flesh. Let that little love of the Good Samaritan begin to move through them and make neighbors, first of all, out of those you meet, and then make children and sons and daughters of God out of them next. Lift up thine eyes and look on the fields. They are white now unto harvest. The world is filled with your neighbors. Lying on roads, bruised and dying, or walking around with their flesh burning, under the judgment of God, because they've been robbed and bruised by Satan, and led away from your Father God. Satan is a thief, even a robber, the father of lies, and he's lied to the whole world. Satan has God working through religion, has bruised the whole world and left them dying, stumbling around, groping in darkness, trying to be good in a religious way. Beaten by guilt and condemnation and false humility of religious Satan. Oh! Feel it? You'll feel that same thing as you sort of walk around among the people. Go down and get you a Coke or a glass of water or whatever you want. Or just drive around or just walk around. Confess softly that you're Jesus Christ come in the flesh. See what begins to move in you. How many of you will do that? Will you do that? Just drive around or walk around? Give the Lord an opportunity to do something in you. So I speak with the tongue of angels, have all faith that I can move mountains, laying on of hands for great miracles. Without the love of God, I am nothing. That's what you are, just a mass of flesh. Oh, with the gifts and the mysteries of God in you. But no force, no motivating force of love to kick that thing out of there and meet the needs of others. Whoa! But if I have a tongue of angels and have the faith to move mountains and have the gift of miracles working, motivated by his love, then I can do all things. Love never faileth, it never falters. It always finds the way and the will of the Lord God for each person to deliver them under his will. An instrument, a guitar in your hand, that you could do wonders if you mix it with love. You can turn the music loose on the people and soothe the bruises of Satan in them. You don't believe what I'm saying. You see, Satan has told you through a bunch of religious, you know, puffing up great men in vainglory. Listen to the plan of God's kingdom. They shall all know me from the least to the greatest. I saw the love of God operate in a little child. I won't call the child's name because we just want to use her for a demonstration. I put her through the three gates into the New Jerusalem. Gave her a little old rag. I don't remember, a little old part of a diaper, I think it was. And all she had a time went out in the spirit and walked. She was out walking around. Saw one of the neighbor kids and she walked up to her. And they all just begin to rejoice. Both of them. That was all she had, and she gave it. It worked. But Satan tells you, you know, you better wait till you get great in prophecy, great in knowledge of the Bible, great in the gifts of the Spirit, great. You better get like Brother so-and-so, and God help me, he uses me also. You better wait till you get like Brother Pruitt before you try to do anything. That's the devil. I resent him talking to you about me. And I resent him telling you I'm great. I'm a child. I resent you even letting him use my name to you. Whoa! Hadn't he been talking to you that way? Raise your hand. Get your mantle and go to Smite. Oh, turn it a little bit louder there, James. Just a little. A little bit more. That's it. Now, we're going to have our Sunday school lesson this morning. We're going to have a Sunday school lesson that you should have had. You should have received this Sunday school lesson as a child, a very small child. This lesson, now to some of you that haven't yet become children, you will begin to think, oh, this is a real advanced and hard doctrine. Well, you should have had this Sunday school lesson when you were a small child instead of all that crap that you had in religion. Pictures of Jesus Christ feeding, you know, supposedly Jesus feeding sheep, trying to make a little Bo Peep out of him, you know. Or walking around like a, you know, stayed with long robes on, down thing, dripping down here, this Samura type, you know, dress with a robe sticking down here and reaching out to poor old leper down there, reaching down there and touching him dignified, you know, and all that jazz. Satan. All this old thing, you know, and I want you to understand me clearly. All this old thing you received about flags and pins and hip hip hooray for the good old USA and to hell with all the rest of them that absolutely made murderers out of many of God's people in the world. They went, justified themselves that they were doing God a favor and murdered millions in other countries. And it started right in the churches. Let me tell you something. We've got probably, by the grace of God, one of the freest nations in the world. But let me tell you something. God doesn't live in that flag of the United States. No, sir. That flag is only existing because of the grace and the mercy of God for his remnant of people that's in the United States. And if that remnant of people were gone, Bud, they'd have been gone a long time ago, because this is as rotten as it can be. Fed all that jazz. Some of you escaped it. You didn't get all involved in hating other people of other kindred and races, but some of you did. Including myself. During the war, absolutely murdered nation. Hated every one of them. Great statues of generals. Murderers of millions, three of me in my heart. Crap! He just said if you look at a person and say, rock in the heart, you're a murderer. All started with that bunch of junk in Sunday school instead of what was supposed to be in. For God and country. Only problem is all the other countries saying that about their God. Yeah, but theirs is not the true God. No, sir, and that wasn't a true God either. This is one of the cases my father has against the Christian nations of the world. And he's mad about it. I mean, he's angry. I mean, wrath is grows in his face. They've taken his young people, his children, his innocents that belong to him through Jesus Christ. They belong to him. And they corrupted them and destroyed them. And he's angry about it. I'm going to tell you right now, somebody going to pay for this thing. Are you going to make them do it? No, sir, but my father already spoke. And I'm going to take all the blood of the innocent children of mine that God, that they have deceived through religion and nationalism. He said, I'm going to cast it on them and fire and burn them to the ground. This is one I want you to hold on to your hats now. This is one of the things the Heavenly Council spoke over me, if you heard that tape. You ain't heard that tape yet? You ought to make it your business to hear it. When they sent me in, they said, speaking of the different agencies of this government and others, said they wrote your name in their secret war file because you obeyed me and ministered the gospel without respect of persons, what they meant, white and colored and whatnot. You heard it? He said, now, we're going to write your name on them in fire and blood. And this is exactly what's been prophesied ever since creation. The man-child name shall be wrote on a nation in fire and blood. Shall a man-child do it? No. The one that ruleth over all shall do it. Shall write it on the obedient in the fire and love of the blood, but I'm on the disobedient in judgment. How's he going to do it? Through the rod of the man-child. Who is the rod? You, the people. You living the life of Christ, moving in that fire and blood of the Holy Ghost, oh, you're going to write the name of God upon the flesh of the obedient people, destroy them and bring them forth, Jesus Christ in the flesh. And all those that reject, you'll be a savior to death, your very presence. You don't believe this? Are you going to move in anger and wrath and revolution? No, sir, you're going to move in the love of God. Vengeance belongeth to God. But make no mistake, he shall write it with fire and blood. He's spoken it, it shall happen. When the day of vengeance of God is declared, and this is the day of vengeance, then God says that the end has come, the change of age. What do you mean, the change of age? Well, under the old age, the unrighteous, starting with Cain and Abel, slew and persecuted the righteous. And he said, no anymore. Then when the unrighteous rise against my people now, fire comes from heaven and destroys them. You don't believe that? You know the ministry, you know the history of my life. You saw him when I first started out in the ministry, rise against me, die and be paralyzed. You said, wonder what that is. Some of you got to where you even... Some of you in the early part of the ministry, you got so bloodthirsty, you even following me around to see who was going to die or get paralyzed next. That wasn't the love of God either, was it? But he made sure that the sign was there when the ministry first started. And to talk to you in a very, very vulgar expression, you're going to live in the love and the fire and the boldness in the face of God, but this thing gonna get hairy before it's over with. once God formed his family, the battle has begun. And you make no mistake about it, God has spoken it. And it hath happened. He shall rule all nations with a rod of iron. Well, I don't understand it. Whether you understand it or not, you can accept it. That's what he said. It hath been done. So we're ready to go. There's a Sunday school lesson. Before we can go to the Sunday school lesson, I want to make an announcement. Monday night at Jacob's Well, Vicki, Carol, and Billy Pruitt, Pelham and Shirley Gross, Ken and Karen Lamont, and who else? Is Roosevelt and Tina still here? Okay, we will meet there Monday night. Anyone else? Yes, no, I guess that's all. Say, I wonder what you're going to do there. You that are not going to be there, that's none of your business. You need to abide in your ministry. Curiosity is what killed the cat. Most of you, that's the reason why that you're not in a ministry now. You're always going around poking your nose, seeing what everybody else is doing, forgetting that you have an individual ministry that you're supposed to enter into yourself. But that's all right, you children, and we'll let you do that for a while. As long as you stay children in malice also. Oh. From the beginning, our Father God, creator of the universe, and has always used them. His living word to create all things. All the world's created by his word. Hebrews 11, chapter verse 3. Paul speaking. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of living God. You should have been taught this when you were a child. You wouldn't have got all involved about the mysteries of creation and the universe and all that other junk you got involved in. You would have known it from a child. All living things that swim or fly. All living things that walk or crawl. All plants and trees, air, light, and water. Our Father created with his living word. Then you got him all involved in theories and second guessings of man, you would know. Many of you sit up, wonder how I know all the mysteries of the creation. Many people, so-called scientists and so on and so forth, doctors, when I talk to them, say, how do you know that? Taught it as a child, not as a physical child, but as a man that became a child and God taught it. Now comes the time, for our Father God to be revealed, as the Creator God, and to be worshipped, as the one true God. of a new creation. Now all the earth. Where'd you get that, Brother Pruitt? Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse 6 and 7. Listen to it. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and all the people. What did he say? Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea
and
the fountains of water. The Creator God has been revealed. Through Jesus Christ, God's begotten Son. Listen now. Our Father began his new creation. Jesus Christ being the firstborn and Lord of the new creation in all the earth. Colossians, the first chapter, verse 18 and 19. I tried to lay these little childlike principles in your life, and I did. And he is the head of the body of the church, the beginning, the firstborn gone from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased our Father that in him should all fullness of the Lord God dwell, that you and I might also have his fullness. Sunday school lesson, you ought to have been taught this. Oh, yeah, John said, I write unto you little children because you've known the Father. Oh. Listen. Of course, I know the reason why you didn't get this next teaching, you know, because you were prudent. You didn't dare speak of anything like womb and sex. You know, you were religiously prudent. You skipped over this part of the Bible, you know, because you felt sort of guilty about it. You didn't want to talk about a thing like that. You know, God said in the word, even though he said in the word, is nasty in this day, you know. Listen to that. Our Father spoke him.
Our Father spoke
his living word.
His living word.
Into the womb of Mary.
The womb of Mary.
His word conceived Jesus.
His word conceived Jesus.
In the womb of woman. Of the old Adam raised him. The Holy Ghost planted God's living seed. Oh, Luke, the first chapter, verse 26 through 35. And in the sixth month,
the angel Gabriel
was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused. To a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, And the virgin name.
And the virgin's name.
Was Mary. And the angel came.
And the angel came.
In unto her. And said, Hail.
And said, Hail.
Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee.
The Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou. Among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying.
She was troubled at his saying.
And cast in her mind, what manner of salutation?
What manner of salutation?
This should be.
This should be.
And the angel said unto her.
And the angel said unto her.
Fear not, Mary.
Fear not, Mary.
For thou hast found favor.
For thou hast found favor.
With God.
With God.
Thou shalt conceive in thy womb,
in thy womb,
and bring forth a son,
and shall call his name Jesus.
You're too busy telling your children about how cats scratched up the kittens out there out of the ground. Oh, yeah, you were taught that prudence in religion. They wouldn't talk anything about womb and such as that. Raised them blind and ignorant, didn't he? Asked them where babies come from. Oh, no, that old religion, old prudery, it just wouldn't let you talk about that. Oh, God gave them. Well, where'd he get them? Out of the ground. Got them from the doctor to the hospital. Lie. That raised them crippled. Wide open to sex. Satan. All sorts of perversions. Brother Pruitt, you modernist, and you think, no, I just, what my father said, that's just what he got through right. I'm a child, hath been made so by God. Whoa. You ready to condemn y'all? He shall be great and shall be called the Son.
He shall be called the Son
of the Highest, and the Lord shall
give
him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and out of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? Sin I know not of men. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee,
oh,
and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therewith also
the holy thing
which shall be born of thee shall be the Son of God. This is the same thing that happened to you when you were saved, and the seed of God was placed inside your fleshly body. Jesus Christ being the seed of God, the Holy Ghost came upon you and overshadowed you and planted him inside of you, regenerating him in your fleshly body as a baby inside of a man.
fulfilling the mystery spoken by the prophet. That in that day man shall be with child, travailing in birth to bring forth them. Bring forth Jesus out of his flesh. And you see, if you'd have been taught all this as a child, I wouldn't have spent 2 or 3 years hassling around on you to get you to accept that Jesus Christ had come in your flesh. See? Well, you couldn't do that. You were raised in a prudent society, you know. Half died. Some of the most prudent people I know of, sister, are nurses. They go in a hospital and they handle all sorts of things. Personal, private, hidden, and otherwise. But oh, when they go in church. Correct? I would tell you something else. I think I will. One of the greatest revelations that Jesus Christ to me ever got was about the Pharisees. You know, that believed in eating and drinking certain things, you know, and that purified the body and made it holy by eating and drinking certain things. You know where he got it? Let me tell you where he got it? While he was taking a stew. How you know, Brother Britt? I'd write that with you. He was taking a stew, and I could say something worse. And he came out and he began to lash old fast. He said, don't you know what you're eating there? Go down in the drought. So that had nothing to do with what God would want to do in you. Woe be unto you. You don't believe he got that revelation while he was taking a stew? How many of you know what a stool is? Everybody know, raise your hand. Now, if you don't know what a stool is, I'll tell you if you want me to. Does anyone know, anyone here doesn't know what a stool is? He was taking a potty. But him being fully obedient, everything that was done in his life, natural and spiritual, the Father taught him what is going on. And he said, that's what those Pharisees are trying to do out there. The devil has got them. Said they're making white the outside and trying to clean the inside, but what they eat and drink. And said, that has nothing to do with it. And said, you go tell them. And he went and told them. He said, woe be on you, Pharisees and hypocrites. You want to get any more of those grade 2 and 3 and 4 hour messages? Or you want to go to moving in obedience like a child? Not the abundance of words, it's Christ coming through. I know you have been made obedient, and I'm going to see that you do. Oh! Oh! Just continue on.